It's Tuesday night and time to talk Chadron State football with the head coach. It's the Jay Long Show, presented by Chadron Glass and Windows.
Cut back into him and he hit him perfectly and the ball bounced out, hit Sandersfeld, and then there was about two or three great blocks by some young football players and we ended up scoring a touchdown, which created a huge, huge momentum. That when you go back and you watch film, you know, I guess the first thing he shows is that, you know, it's never as bad as you think it is and it's never as good as you think it is. But, you know, the main takeaway was we played really well in the second half against a top team.
Here's your host, the voice of the Eagles, Dave Collins.
We've got head coach Jay Long in the studio for our weekly Tuesday Jay Long Show, talking Chadron State football. Coach, good to have you in once again. You guys just finished up another long road trip, many of those thus far in the year, and you ended up with a second conference game at Western Colorado. 56-28 setback. Let's go through that one for the fans this afternoon. A tight first quarter. They score early, but a 14-7 game that included a 12-play drive for you guys. Jalen Starks, an awesome touchdown over the top. He capped it off with a run from in close and had a nice ball game brewing at that point.
Yeah, I really liked how we came out on offense. When you look at the atmosphere at Western State this year, we were playing on their soccer field, and it was 10 minutes away from our locker room. We had to be vanned up there. The crowd was only limited to 500 fans. So the atmosphere was just really kind of different. Had more of a practice feel to it, or a spring scrimmage type feel to it, rather than a game with what we're used to with going up there. And I thought our offense, you know, we went out and Coach Smith scripted a really good first 12 plays. And we marched on the field and we scored on them. And the other good part was is that, you know, Western started off very fast also. And so us to be able to go out there on that first drive and march down was, you know, a really good play calling by Coach Smith. And then also our guys going out and executing that game plan.
You know, in the pregame, Coach, you mentioned the challenges you expected coming forward with the setup. Let's get the reaction now of what you actually did have to deal with. You, one of the things I know you were looking at was coaches being only 9 feet high and kind of right over the benches. And how did those things all kind of play out? How did they affect the game? And what were the challenges you really ended up working through?
You know, what we ended up doing is we put our younger coaches up there, our graduate assistant coaches up there. They were able to, see the down and distance, be able to see the big things that we were, you know, that we want to identify. Then what we did is we put Coach Smith on the sideline, which was going to happen anyways. I think that's something that we're going to continue to do, is keep him on the sideline. And then also we moved down Coach Coombs, who's also coordinates the special teams, and then he's also our defensive back coach. And once again, I think that was a positive. Also, defensive coaching assistant that works with him is D.A. Martin, and D.A. Martin is a very mature young coach. I mean, he's going to be a really great one in his future, and he played for Coach Coombs for 4 years. They've got a really good connection, and also they know what each other's looking for. So by putting him up in the box, that actually really helped out also in regards to being an organization of our special teams and with helping out with that secondary.
From the soccer game, I watched kind of seeing how the view would be to what the football game was. I'm really glad they actually painted some numbers and stuff on there for you. There were some big concerns going in, but it did look like a college football game. Yeah. That was good to see. And with Micah moving down to the field, does he want to be down there to be able to interact more personally with the guys as opposed to the view up top, or is what makes it better for him at this point to be down on the field?
You know, Dave, I think that when you look at offensive coordinator and even your defensive coordinators, when they're up in the press box, it's like a video game. They are watching the game through a TV, and they're able to, you know, be able to think about what they're going to call ahead of time. They're going to be able to write things down a little bit better. They know exactly what they're looking for and where they can attack it. The benefits of going down the sideline is you get to feel the emotion of the guys. You get to feel the momentum of the guys. You also get to go on, you know, visually look at the players and ask, you know, what happened in that situation and what they saw and what they felt. But I think really just that leadership of what we need on the sideline is the biggest benefit of having him down there. When you look at us on offense, you know, Coach Sandy, myself, and him are our full-time coaches on offense. And, you know, him on the sideline is just another guy with that leadership, you know, with our youthful offense, you know, to be able to go and just show that leadership of why we're calling plays and what we're doing and what we're looking for.
Really interesting dynamic about how things change so much just being in the booth compared to the sideline. Is Coach Long with us for the Tuesday show. So 14-7 going into the second quarter, and Western just exploded in that quarter, Coach. 28 points and a 42-7 halftime lead. What do you feel like happened in that quarter that allowed the game to sort of get away at that point?
The biggest thing that was the factor was really bringing the guys up from the locker room to the game field. That was probably the biggest thing that was the biggest difference, because we take our guys really out of the routine.
Yeah.
What happened with us was is we got our guys up there too early, and Western got their guys up there too late. And so it was really interesting, because when you look at our pregame scripts, they both originated from Coach Boyle. I stole mine from Coach Boyle, and Jazz was here when they created Coach Boyle. So when you look at our pregame scripts, even from us both walking out with the hammer, it's both been stolen from the 2006-2007 era of when we were at Shattern State. And so that was probably the biggest factor that it affected the team. But as I say that, Western State came up late. They scored on their first drive. We came up there too early, and we scored on our first drive. So I think our team was able to adapt on it. To answer your question in regards to the second quarter, Dave, when you look at us offensively, we ran 90 plays, which is a high. I would say in my career, being here 10 years, I would say that's got to be one of our top five most plays we've ever ran against a team.
Yeah.
We had four drives over 12 plays, which we scored the most points we scored this season. We're growing on offense, and I'm happy about that. I mean, this defense, Coach Howard's defense at Western State, it'll be at the end of the year, it'll be either the top or the second best defense in our conference.
Yeah.
And our guys, we're growing, we're doing things right, and that's a good thing to happen. Defensively, when we talked about our keys of the game, we wanted to go out and we wanted to stop the run and make them one-dimensional. And we also wanted to get off the field on third down. And when you look at those three things, I thought that we stopped the run for the most part. We made them one-dimensional, which they did take advantage of us in the passing game. And then we got off the field on third down. The thing that really, when you look at what happened on Saturday, is what you just asked me with this question, was the second quarter.
Yeah.
And this is the things that we got to get fixed. In the second quarter, we had a muff punt, a block punt, and also a fumble. All of those three resulted in touchdowns. And when you look at what the biggest thing that shows out is that we give up 35 points off of turnovers and special teams play. That is our whole team. I mean, that puts together the whole team. Offensively, turnovers, they got to stop. The fumbles got to stop. When you're looking at interceptions, we threw the ball 50 times and Mason threw one interception. Interceptions happen, and they really happen with younger quarterbacks. It happened to us last time when John McClain graduated and we moved in with our next quarterbacks, and then now it's happening again after Dalton's been a 5-year starter, 6-year starter, where we have some turnovers. Those things happen. It even happens in the NFL. We got to continue to put our quarterbacks in the right positions, and then we got to go out and make those throws. And that second quarter is the most disappointed thing that I am when you talk to me on the radio right now. Because if we could remove that second quarter, we are now into a game where we are fighting to have a chance to win at the end of the game.
Yeah, and the momentum that they got in the second quarter, tough to overcome, their first home game of the year. And you'd mentioned wanting to cut down on those fumbles. I think it was a Texas A&M guy had a big fumble, and he was carrying the football around campus all week. Students were kind of told to knock it out of his hand, and nobody yeah. could yet. That old movie, yeah. The Program, yeah. from way back yeah. when we were kids, had the same thing. Mm. How do you stop? How do you get those fumbles to stop, Coach? You putting a football in the guy's hands around campus and saying, hold on to this thing no matter what?
What we're doing is every day in practice we are doing a strip drill, and we're putting an emphasis on it. There's fumbles happen in games, but they're unacceptable. We've had too many. Our turnover ratio is we are, that is why we're struggling with our win record this year, is that would be one of the most blatant things, is our turnover ratio. And that's got to get fixed. And our special teams also, like I said, we had a blocked punt, we had a muffed punt return, we had a shank on one of our punts, and our punter got hit three times. That isn't just the punter, that is all of us. And that is offensive players, defensive players, and we've got to get that fixed. And Dave, I assume that every week we always talk about injuries, and injuries, we are banged up. And typically when you get banged up, the first place that starts going breaking down is your special teams, because that is where you start taking your starters off of special teams because they're getting banged up, and we start bringing in our next round of guys. And our next round of guys got to step up. And our guys that are healthy enough, that are not contributing on special teams, they need to step up and get out there and improve on that. And then us as coaches, we've got to improve on that. When we know that we're weak in a certain area, we got to go make it a strength, or we got to protect it more. And that is the number one, stress of the week, is we got to fix those things. Because like I said, I'm extremely, extremely disappointed in that second quarter.
Coach, when you look at special teams we've been focusing on and fumbles, you've got a couple really fast returners in Jaden Cox and Dax Urati and guys on the team that are quick that could maybe return with the three muffs in four games between the two of those guys. Now, do you look at making a change for a week in returning, or is that a way that you kind of emphasize we can't fumble by replacing players in different spots and giving other guys an opportunity?
The answer is all the above, Dave. I will tell you, we are trying out for other guys. I would just return and ask the question back to you. I mean, on our team, trustworthy guys, Dax Urati and Jaden Cox are two of our top.
Yeah.
And, in the one we muffed this week, the sun was in his eyes. And it was. It's a plane in that they're a north-south field, and the sun was in it. Then we just got to talk about decision-making of it, and let's not try to catch it. Let's just drop. Let it hit the ground. I will tell you that when we put out on Saturday, whoever's out there, we have the faith that they're going to do it right. And because of what we're going to do this week in practice, and Parker Dillon is going to be, he's been in our reserve role as far as a punter goes, but he is going to punt to those guys as many dang times as he can during the week to give them as many opportunities. Because when you look at things, there's different ways of doing it, but one is how do you get confidence doing it in practice against hard catches, and that's what we're doing right now.
One of the other things you brought up about the game, Coach, the third down defense, spectacular. 2 of 14. You held them on 12 different third downs, an excellent ratio there. And it also ties into the turnovers. And then 4 of the touchdowns Western scored were on really short fields in your end of the field. So the third down defense was great. And again, the emphasis on turnovers needing to stop. But speak to the guys on that third down that really stepped up.
Dave, if you remember correctly, on Tuesday, or those of you listened on Tuesday's talk, that was something that we were really disappointed in the week before, was our third down conversions. And we did a lot of changes. We changed to a 3-man front. We worked in and out of a 3-man and a 4-man front. I thought that Hunter O'Connor did a great job of hurrying the quarterback. I think I know he got one sack. Or at least it wasn't a sack. It was on a pick. He hit that guy on the pick. And but he's been in the backfield, and he has a really good pass rush scheme, and he's doing a really good job on the run blocking stoppage too. So I think that's a factor in it. But really, I think just mixing up the looks was really something different for Western State. This week, we have another team that's going to be coming in, and it'll have to be a stress again. Also, it's in our goals, our defensive goals every week.
Coach, in the second half, let's look at some of the Eagle offensive highlights. A couple of touchdown drives orchestrated, and Tommy Thomas, Mason Hamilton, they connect on a beautiful 37-yard score. And then Montel Gladney got in from a Hamilton pass, a short 5-play drive, and a short touchdown there for Montel. Western was able to kind of answer those and make it too much to overcome overall, but in the scheme of the whole game, to see those drives get put together against a good defense had to make you feel good.
I thought that Tommy was a kid that really stepped up. I thought Mason played well also. I thought that Coach Smith called a really good game. Coach Auer's defense is a defense that is a lot of misdirection. There's a lot of movement. And our young line, we've seen that. We've seen it with Angelo. And then we've seen with Utah Tech, we've seen a defense that's just sat in a front and says, hey, we're better than you. We're going to beat you that way. Mm-hmm. And then with the Black Hills, there's a little bit of both. In regards to their line games and stuff. But Western State's defense has really affected offensive lines because of the way they move. And, Coach Smith, we ran the ball enough. Then we were able to get Mason in opportunities where he was able to throw it. And, Tommy had a really big day. He stood out. I thought that Grant Swenson, had a good day. We got a little banged. That's an area where we were banged up. Alante was not able to finish the game. And, Jackson Hesford is getting more and more reps in there. Jamal Browder is you know, starting to find his role and be able to find opportunities where he can go get the ball in space. So, you know, I thought that we did a good job of calling plays and protecting our weaknesses. And, you know, so I thought that was a good job there. And like I told you earlier, you know, we ran 90 plays. We had four drives over 12 plays. And it was our highest scoring output on the year against the top defense. And that's something we got to continue to build on. We got to continue to get better each and every week.
How about a few thoughts on Rylan Owayo, too, Coach? The fans always love to see the local guys from the Panhandle High Schools here. Rylan, a kid from Mitchell, just outside of Scott's Bluff, went in there with some of the injuries and the fumble issue that you had early in the game. I thought he ran tough, and from talking to him this year, I know he was really excited for that first opportunity to get carries, and he was a big part of your offense.
It was exciting because you could just see the hunger in him. And since last year, I've been talking that he's a good back, and he's a guy that we need to utilize. And when we were talking special teams wise, he is getting more of a role on that special teams also. But it was good to see him come in. He provided a little spark also. You know, we created some excitement, popped a couple. I think he had a couple big runs right off the bat, and so that was exciting. And he's a guy that we need to continue to lean on, especially in that special teams area, because he is athletic and he can run. And when you look at one of the biggest changes in college football, when I played, it was all fullbacks and tight ends and linebackers that played special teams. Now it is all skill players because of the speed of the game. And yeah, he is one of those speed players that needs to go out and improve us on special teams.
Coach Jay Long, our guest every Tuesday night to talk Chadron State football. Coach, at 0-4 now through the first month or so of the season, how are the guys feeling considering the difficulty of the schedule you've played, the travel you've had, and where the record currently stands now at 0-4 and how things have unfolded? What's the feeling and the attitude of the team right now?
You know, Dave, when we are going into this stretch, you know, we don't allow excuses. We don't tell our guys that this is an excuse. But, you know, as far as facts go is that, you know, it was 70 hours on a bus that we've been in the last 3 weeks. That's almost two full work weeks of sitting in a bus and riding. You know, and we've also played some really good teams. Angelo right now is ranked third in the country. Dixie State is a 1AA. Black Hills is undefeated, and Western is ranked in the country. So when you look at the strength of our schedule, it has been a very strong, you know, schedule. And, you know, our guys understand that what we need to do is we need to play our best football for four quarters. And we have shown really, you know, really bright spots in regards to our defense at Angelo. We looked really, I thought that's a top offense. And I thought that, you know, we had showed some really good things there. I thought the first half at Utah Tech, we played Eagle football. We looked like we needed to look. And then, you know, versus Black Hills, you know, we had our opportunities and where we were looking like we needed to look as a football team. And the same thing with Western, you know, that second half, and we were getting blown out in the first half, and because of that second quarter, and our guys, you know, we fought our way back in, you know, into the game. We were just too far back, and you know, our guys know that what we got to do is we got to eliminate that one part where we just have it, that letdown. And you know, Dave, some of it's youth, some of it is, you know, of guys just their experience level, and you know, as a team we are growing, we are getting better. It's just that we need to put it together for four quarters, not just, you know, when our backs are up against the wall and we just have to fight like heck.
Coach, this is a time of year where a coach will look back and look at his team and see an 0-4 and go into a week of practice with a national championship type of team coming up on the schedule, a very difficult opponent, and kind of think, who's checked in, who's checked out, who's in it for the long haul.
Yep.
Do you guys feel like this week of practice you're really focused on seeing who's really competing and who's going to stick this thing out, or maybe see who has kind of let their guard down a little bit with an 0-4 start and with looking at the rest of a long season still ahead?
You know, Dave, there's whenever things are not going the way that a person wants, and this could be whether in the real world or class or even in football, you know, we always have two choices, and the choice is you can quit and complain, or excuse me, I guess you have three choices. Yeah, you can just quit, You can complain, or you can go and just get better and just continue to work. And the core of our room, the core of our guys, are guys that fit that latter one. And they, that's the core that represents our community. And because when you look at Chattern, the people in Chattern and the people that are listening on this radio, you know, most of us that come from an ag background, and things are never just always perfect. You always have to work to make it perfect. And that's where we're at right now. We have to work to make it perfect. And I feel like we have the guys that are going to continue to do this. And Dave, when you talked, you asked me in the very beginning of the year, you know, what our expectations were, and I said, you know, last year I felt like our team is more talented. I think that this team is more of a team. And right now, Dave, we're going to find that out. We're going to find that answer out with our guys. And I love them, and nothing has changed there. And you know, we're going to continue to keep fighting. And we got another great opponent this week. You said it, you know, a national championship caliber type team. They are 2-2, but their two losses are to number 3 ranked Angelo in overtime and number 4 or 5 ranked Grand Valley State, who is, they lost by 3 points. So yeah, we have another great team. It's at home. It's against homecoming. We're going to go out and we're going to compete. And I'm excited about the opportunity, because one of the things I did complain about on this radio is we've been on the bus a long times. This is when we're at home. Let's go out and represent ourselves at home.
Yeah, you bet. Coach, a couple of things we always touch on the show as we get wrapped up today. The Hammer Award for special teams. Who do the guys nominate and pick this week for the special teams Hammer Award from the Western game?
This week it's not a special teams Hammer Award. We did not go on off of special teams. The special teams this week was not what our expectations are. What we voted for as a team was Xavier Harrell. Xavier Harrell is one of those, he's an Eagle. He's one of those guys we talk about. It's a program guy that works his ever living, tail off. He's one of the good ones. He's going to be a doctor someday. He had, I think Coach Tassie said he had 8 solo tackles, 10 total tackles. He had 2 TFLs and a sack. And he's on every special team. And he had the most amount of reps in altitude out of anybody on our team. I would tell you the other guys that played really well, Michael DeCamillis. At offensive line, played like a dominant offensive lineman. I think that Hunter O'Connor, I already just said, played very well. Tanner True got a hand on a block for a field goal, and he also played very well at nose. Tommy Thomas did a really good job also in the game, and I thought that he stood out. So those are all some guys that were nominated as it. When you look at it, the team voted for Xavier Harrell, and it was pretty much unanimous.
Yeah, he is so fun to watch. Fans, 28 on the jersey when you come to the game Saturday. Watch X fly around on defense. He really is incredible. Awesome to hear he's on that doctor track too, Coach. Yeah. You mentioned terrific, obviously, in the classroom as well. Represents a lot of what you guys are about.
Exactly. The other one I should have said was Peter Crone. And Peter Crone's also another one of the guys that's going to be a doctor, and he played very well. And then Jalen Starts, who's one of those guys, he got banged up during Black Hills. He midway through the game, he said, "Hey, Coach, I'm good for short yardage and goal line." And he was good for short yards.
first touchdown took me back to about like 1989 NFL, where he just went right over the top. And what a great bulldozing back in that short yardage, Coach. We'll finish up with the injury situation. Anybody that's been following the team, obviously, Heath B. Miller didn't play. What's the latest on him? Mason got a lot of action, a little bit banged up. Alante didn't finish. Looked like Juan Estrada Sanchez was in there most of the day on Saturday, too, and he's okay. Where can you take us on some of the key injuries?
Dave, there's a pretty good list of it. I just think we are it's week 4. We're banged up. There's quite a few names on that list on our injury report that we were here at 8:15 this morning. We do an injury report every morning. And I will just say that, you know, the guys that are out there are going to be guys that are going to play like Eagles. And I'll probably be able to answer that question a little bit more later on in the week.
Yeah, we'll touch on it in the pregame. And it's good to be home and not have to try to do a little bit of PT, or you can't have the ice tub on the bus when you travel or anything like that. So maybe a couple of extra days to get healthy here at home, Coach. Another sort of under the radar benefit, right?
The thing you got to balance, Dave, is that lackadaisical effort in that second quarter. You know, one way to fix it is we got to be more physical in practice. But also, when you're banged up, we have to be careful that we don't bang our guys up too much. We can't play. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be our balance today and Tuesday's practice. Is that we call our Tuesdays competition Tuesdays, and we go a lot of good on good, which the old NFL style. style and ones on twos and twos on ones in regards to a big part of our practice rather than our scout team. So we got to be smart. Our team's got to be smart, but we also got to get ourselves ready to play.
Yeah, we know that it's going to be an intense, competitive, and good week of practice with this opportunity against a good RMAC rival this weekend, Colorado Mines. Jay, thanks again for the show this week. Always love getting your thoughts on the team, the breakdown, and the look ahead. We'll talk to you again Saturday morning before kicking it off against the Ore Diggers.
Thank you, Dave, and all you guys that are listening, big supporters of the Eagles. We appreciate your support, and just like anything else, it's easy to support something when things are going good. When things are tough, that's when we need them. And when you see our guys, that's what we need is we need support because we're going to get this thing turned around. Go Eagles!
Tune in every Tuesday night during the season for the Jay Long Show, presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Listen on demand by downloading archived shows on the CSC Sports page at panhandlepost.com.
Jay Long Show is presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Whether you're looking to replace one broken window, upgrade your entire home or business with a beautiful new look, or replace a cracked vehicle windshield, you'll find your perfect glass solution at Shadron Glass and Windows. Save money this winter on energy costs and upgrade to more energy-efficient windows and doors. Stop in and see Judd at 139 Main Street or give Shadron Glass and Windows a call at 432-3268. That's 432-3268.